Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Let's read the word of the Lord, James 5, New International Version. Do have notes going all around. No promise to fill in all the blanks. If you have a blank that's not filled in, just pray in the Spirit. Ask God to give you a word of knowledge. That'll help you. And it'll also help me to preach however the wind blows. And I do believe we're going to have a powerful time tonight. Are you ready? Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Amen. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Ah. Is any one of you sick? Let them call in the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And the Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's a clear link between unconfessed sin and sickness, clearly. Also, I don't know how you call upon an elder if you don't have a church. Elder synonymous with pastor, leader. Okay. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Say that with me. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Verse 18, final verse. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Father, we thank you for your word. A lamp unto our feet, a light upon our path. You stand over it to see it performed. Goes forth and doesn't return void. Holy Ghost, come and have your way. May we never be the same as a result of tonight's service. Come on, lift your hands into the heavens and pray in your heavenly language right now. Ready, set, go. Come on, a little louder. Turn it up a little bit. Holy Spirit, release your power tonight as I preach. Burn faith in the hearts of your people, in all of our hearts, God. Release your power upon the sick and let them be healed. Release your dunamis here in this place, your power. That we would be forever changed. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Say hi to 3 or 4 people. Say, brace yourself. Yay. We got a phone call late last night, or a text. I don't know. Text, phone calls, DMs. They all blend. I can't remember. We got a communication. And the communication was one of the men in our church had a tree fall on him, crushing his skull and crushing his skull and broke his shoulder, I think, as well. We got the call and we began to pray, and we put word out, word spread quick. Pastor Vincent, I think you were able to go to the hospital. Well, I got a phone call from, I mean, they had to do a cranioscopy they had to open up his skull. Is that right? Okay, Doc, thanks. He called me. Yeah, he's good. Come on, somebody. Who's a healer? Jesus is a healer. He can do anything. Come on, God can do anything. And I am convinced that prayer changes things. I'm convinced. There's something as I've gotten older, maybe more mature, but I'm still believing along with my wife to mature even more. I feel like I can hear answer prayer. Maybe it's the gift of the operation of faith. There's something that happens. It's like a bell that rings. And if that doesn't happen, then I know I just need to keep praying. That doesn't happen all the time, but when we prayed last night, bam, just felt like, wow, he got a miracle. And so we were weeping this afternoon when he was calling, and I told him I was going to talk about him. He's still in the ICU, but he's recovering. The vent is out. He's recovering. He's going to be all right. Come on, somebody say praise the Lord. Prayer changes things. I want you to say that. Prayer changes things. And again, we do have notes. If you don't have those, go ahead, lift your hand and bring that, if you would, ushers. To those who have their hands raised, don't let the blood drain out. There we go. Thank you so much. We have one of the greatest opportunities, I believe, that we've ever had. You say, what is that? Well, we have this brand new facility, and we have, for the first time in 7 years, room. We have room to grow. We have empty seats, and I'm grateful for the fact that we have room. I'm not grateful for the empty seats. But I do believe that God is going to give us a harvest of souls. I want you to say it's harvest time. Now, in the natural, it's harvest time. Crops are coming in. People are bringing in. You know, by now, if you didn't get it in now, you lost it. Winter's here. The 2 weeks of fall is over. Amen. As soon as the wind blows, all the leaves will be gone. Hallelujah. But just, let's go. You know why I love it? Because people come back to church. So go ahead, bring the winter. Let's have revival. You know, this weekend and Operation Andrew. How do you get a harvest of souls? Well, you got to witness to people. And I won't ask you to raise your hand if you haven't won somebody to Jesus recently, but it really is an important aspect of your Christianity. If you can't share your faith, then you really need to check your heart. Maybe it needs to be rekindled. You know what rekindled means? It means your wood's wet. You need to rekindle it so you're stirred to share your faith with people. And it's not just sharing your faith. It's not just witnessing. It's outreaches, and we have so many lined up. We have, of course, this outreach with our guest evangelist, Tiff Shuttlesworth, and then we have Pumpkin Patch. How many of you know what that is? It's a glow show. How many of you heard of the Glow Show? Okay, raise your hand if you didn't hear of the Glow Show. You got no idea what it is. Okay, we do it right at the Halloween time to redeem that. We don't worship the pumpkin, certainly not. It is a high holiday for Satan. We certainly don't worship him. He's underneath our feet. He's defeated. Come on, say he's defeated. I said Satan's defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's right. Don't forget it. But there are many who don't know that, and at the time of October, the end of October, there is more human sacrifice. You might not be aware of that, but there's a lot of evil that happens at the end of October. So I don't know if you were probably raised in a wonderful Christian home, and you didn't participate in any of those things, and neither did my children. But you know, when I was raised, you know, we would go and throw eggs at houses and go. In fact, my brother Chris taught me how to do that. He's on the front row. And toilet paper the trees, and we were wicked little children, and my parents knew nothing about it. Sorry, Mom, you don't like when I tell those stories, but it's true, and so you gotta watch out what your kids are doing when you're not aware of it. And then we would get all kinds of candy, and then OD on sugar, and then, you know, it'd be over. Now what we do is we pass out candy and have all the fun and toys, reel people in with a cool little thing called a glow show, and get them all saved. Come on, somebody say amen. That's why we do it. I can't believe you're doing something at Halloween. Yeah, we're redeeming the holiday, and we're getting people saved. And we'll use Easter eggs too, although we haven't done that for a few years, because the last time we did it, we had 3,000 people. We don't even fit in the War Memorial. Well, that's going back. That's like a 25-year blip in my mind. The War Memorial Stadium is in Maui, Hawaii. What's it called over here? Menard Sports Center. We don't fit in there. And we've had people get so angry because there's 3,000 people and people stealing each other's eggs and you know, crying and getting trampled. And it's just dangerous. We just haven't done it. We haven't had the room. So I'm not sure we'll do this this Easter. But we do outreaches. So harvest, you got to witness. You got to have outreaches. Is there anything else we should do? Hence this message. Pray. It says in Matthew 9, and it'd be worth underlining, Jesus went through all the cities and surrounding villages, teaching them in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease. How many disease? Every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. It's just like today. Like sheep without a shepherd. Verse 37, he says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out, that word in the Greek is ekbalo, laborers into the harvest field. I said it earlier in morning prayer, and man, we have a crowd coming for morning prayer. I'd encourage you to turn out tomorrow. I'll be leading. It's going to be powerful, as it was this morning. Pray, King James, ye Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into the harvest field. There's this connectivity between prayer and souls. There's connectivity between prayer and workers and evangelism. That literally is saying that's not the problem with the harvest. Everybody, listen, I'm gonna say it the way that he means it. Everybody wants to get born again. In fact, there's so many, if they were all to wave a white flag, the fields would be white. You look out the window and see white flags everywhere. The fields are white with harvest. And that's a picture of wheat. He's talking about souls. The problem is not with people. Oh, people don't want Jesus. No, that's not the problem. That's what he's saying. And I found the same thing. The problem is we don't pray like we need to. And then laborers aren't released. Prayer and laborers, and that word ekbalo is a violent word. It's a word for like casting out a devil. It's the same word. I mean, it's very like, pray he kicks him out. Come on, God wants to ekbalo you into the harvest. So what do we need to do to bring in the harvest? Well, our main need is really prayer. In the year 2006, in Paeyang, Korea, the Presbyterian revival broke out. They started in prayer in Korea. 1906. And the power of God hit the Koreans. And God began to pour out his spirit. And it started at an early morning prayer meeting. Early morning prayer. There was a great outpouring of prayer in New York City in the year. Oh, I don't have the year, but you can look it up. It's famous in New York City, Fulton Street Noon Prayer Meeting is what it was called. It fueled revival in New York City that even sent a revival abroad and across the nation. You don't hear about these things. Maybe you're familiar with this one. 1949, 1953, the Hebrides Island of Lewis and Harris off the northwestern coast of Scotland. And I'm going to read a section here of Duncan Campbell, who was their evangelist. He's the evangelist that was led there. The condition of those islands there in the Hebrides was there were no more youth in the church. And you can read these accounts. They were given to activities that were sinful and pleasurable. And you can read all kinds. There's all kinds of documents and articles and books written about it. And so they began to pray. And prior to the revival, if you were to go into Lewis, that island, you would see in the middle of the night, you would see lamps burning in different houses. And you could hear, if you went close, you could hear them praying. It was the senior saints, in actual fact, it was the grandmothers that began to get together and pray, oh God, save our grandchildren. They began to cry out. They sent word to this guy, Duncan Campbell, and he came. Here's what he says. I love this. He said that a revival broke out, and then he says, first, let me tell you what I mean by revival. An evangelistic campaign or a special meeting is not revival. A successful evangelistic campaign or crusade where there'll be hundreds, even thousands of people making decisions for Christ, but the community remains untouched, and the churches continue much the same as they did before the outreach, is not revival. In revival, God moves in the district. Suddenly the communities become God conscious. The Spirit of God grips men and women in such a way that even work is given up as people give themselves to waiting on God. In the midst of the Lewis Awakening or the Lewis Revival, a parish minister at Barvis wrote, "The Spirit of the Lord was resting wonderfully on the different townships of the region. His presence in the homes of the people, on the meadows, on the moorland. His presence was everywhere, even on public roads." The presence of God is a supreme characteristic of a God-sent revival. Of the hundreds who found Jesus Christ among that time, fully 75% were saved before they came near the meeting or heard a sermon by myself or any other ministers in the parish. Before, they got saved in fields. They got their Bibles out and began to read. It was a sovereign outpouring of the Spirit. But was it sovereign? You say, well, yes, it was. Sovereign means he does what he wants, whenever he wants. He's the king, right? The king is sovereignty. The king is sovereign. But the idea is that you can't miss the fact that in the middle of the night, there were grandmothers and grandfathers huddled around their lamps with the wicks trimmed, crying out for God to pour out his Spirit. That's what America needs. We need an awakening like that. We don't need an evangelistic campaign with a few hundred people saved. One of the things that so disturbs me is, as exciting as it is to be here in our new building and to see the hundreds of new families that are coming, and there's hundreds more. How will we possibly scrape the surface of what's needed in the United States of America? The only way that'll happen is by God pouring out his Spirit in a sovereign way, and I do believe that our prayer has something to do with it. Duncan Campbell said this, "The power of God, the Spirit of God was moving in operation. The fear of God gripped the souls of men. This is a God-sent revival, as distinct from special efforts in field evangelism." Wow. Do we continue to have field evangelism? Yes. Do we continue to send out evangelists? Yes. Do we continue to give to missions? Yes. But I think one of the things we're missing, one of the things I think we're missing more than anything is prayer that couples the two. We have prayer, but I mean another level of prayer. We're going to add prayer times. We're adding a noon prayer time. We're adding a 6 a.m. prayer time. We're going to add an 8 a.m. prayer time. We're adding prayer. And we'll add as much prayer as I can get a leader to lead. I can't lead it all, nor am I supposed to. Why would we do that? Because prayer is the key. It's how this building was built. It's the reason I'm still alive. It's the reason you're still alive, whether you're aware of it. And it's the very thing that's going to cause an ekbalo of laborers. It's the very thing that's going to release the power of God to get the fields in it. They are white. The problem is not with your neighbor. You can't teach demons. You can't come against demon power in Eagle River by good plans. It only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then he gives those plans too, and you follow through. You do need buildings. You do need stuff. Thank God for a building. Father, in Jesus' name, give us a building or help us to build one in Eagle River, because our building's too small and we're paying somebody else's mortgage. Help us, God. May it even be free. I'm over my PTSD of building this one. I'm ready to build another one. You ready? Let's go. If that's what we need to do, we're going to do it. Amen. Eagle River is going to pay for the whole thing. Come on, somebody say amen. But you won't be able to hold me back from putting seed in and believing God with you. You can't read the Bible without realizing a special emphasis on prayer. If you go to Exodus chapter 17, I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to tell you the story. Exodus 17 18 to 16, you see the Amalekites are the first terrorists. They come up behind Israel as they're trying to get into the promised land, and they're picking off the weak ones in the back. I remember Pastor Tim preached a message, Who's on the Hill? And I heard Dr. Morocco preach a message, Who's on the Hill? And I took the notes and both of those and combined it and churned it, made my own butter, and preached a message called Who's on the Hill as well, right here. Powerful word. Because as these Amalekites are attacking, Moses goes up on the mountain and he holds up the rod of God in his hands. And as his hands are raised, then they win in the valley. But he gets tired. The quick thinking of Aaron and Hur, and they come alongside him and they have him sit down and they hold up his hands. But whenever his hands would drop, they would begin to lose, Joshua would begin to lose the battle. But when his hands were raised, they would win. And they did that for a period of time. You can go look at it. It's a powerful picture. It's a powerful picture of prayer and the battle. It's a power picture that on the mountaintop with God, you pray and he gives victory in the valley. It's a powerful picture of intercession and spiritual warfare. And it's a powerful picture also of the generations. Would the Baldonados stand up? Would you stand up? I'm moving you. Here, can I move you? Oh, you got your kids. You're probably better off over there. All right. Can you bring them? All right, good. I'll move you. Come to the front row. They just got here. They're fresh off the boat. Would you put your hands together for the Baldonados? And yeah, okay, great. Listen, they're taking over our young adults. Here, just stand there. Y'all look so wonderful. I believe that God is raising up Moseses. Like, I might be a Moses type. I'm like, Caleb, give me my mountain, baby. I'm going to be 80-something and still taking the hill. But it's a beautiful picture of the generations working together, where there is a Moses on the mountain and a Joshua in the valley. It takes a multi-generational move of God. I believe that God's doing that. Moses needed Joshua's sword. Joshua needed Moses' wisdom, Moses' rod. The rod of God needed the intercession. Come on, somebody said, I'm bringing a great revival is coming to this generation. If you're breathing right now, you're a part of the generation that's going to experience. Come on. Push me up just a little bit. If you're breathing right now, much better. If you're breathing right now, this is your generation. What are you going to do? Knit one, purl two on your chair until Jesus comes, watching Days of Our Lives and hope that, come on. Thank God for knitting. Amen. You're not too old. You're not too young. Get in the harvest. Come on, somebody, get in it. Say it. Get in it. But it's a beautiful picture, really, of how God brings victory. God will fight for you if you pray. Let me say that again. God will fight for you if you pray, if you pray. I'm glad he fights for me even when I don't pray, but he fights for you especially when you do. I said he fights for you especially when you do. Another beautiful picture of prayer is found in Luke 22. Profound picture. It appears that Satan has set out a hit on Peter. Look at verse 31. Are you all there? Luke 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon, which is fascinating because he changed his name to Peter, so why would he be calling him Simon? It's a key or a clue for why he's about to be sifted, but let's go ahead and read it. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked, I love that, he has to ask. Satan has to ask. Almighty Satan. No, he ain't almighty neither. That's right. Satan asked to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. Satan's power is limited. Write that in the notes. Satan's power is what? I'm sorry, can't hear you. What? Satan powers what? Some of you don't act that way. Satan's power is limited. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, and apparently he's been granted some sifting power. Why is that? The clue is Simon, Simon. His name was Peter, his name was changed, but Simon referred to really his kind of his fallen human nature. Simon was just like me in many ways. He would constantly put his foot in his mouth. He would do things and say things. He was like some other people I know. Simon had a pride issue. You're not going to the cross, Jesus. You're not going. Get behind me, Satan. Simon had issues. You're not the only one. And there are things that you might do that actually allow Satan access to mess with you. Why don't you bump your neighbor and say, he's not talking to me right now. Is he talking to you? Go ahead. He's not talking to me. I'm good. Satan's intention is to steal, kill, and destroy. Come on, we know that. When he's lying, he's speaking his native tongue. In fact, he's the father of lies. And prayer overcomes the attack of Satan. There's a hit out on Peter. And what is it that Jesus does? I've prayed for you. I mean, if God, fully man, Jesus, prays, I think we ought to pray more. I got one amen on the front row. Come on, can I get another one? Can we get two? Get two amens. Can we get three? You can pray more. Like, seriously, Satan's after you. He's after your money. He's after your children. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to act like Simon. He wants to sift you. How many people have been sifted because we haven't prayed? You say, well, you kidding, Pastor? What you talking about? This church prays more than any other church I ever been to, praying all the time. Lord, oh, he's inviting us to a prayer meeting. Every time, Lord, you pray, oh, you got praise, a fabric of your life, you tell me. I didn't ever seen a church pray so much all the time. But do we pray? Do we pray like Peter prayed? Do we pray, or should I say Paul rather? Do we pray like him? I'm again in birth pains until Christ is formed in you, he says to the Galatians. Where's Pastor Tammy? Pastor Tammy is over our Connect department, over our life groups. Think about that. The Apostle Paul, you've given birth. That's intense, I understand. I wouldn't know. Because men can't have babies. Sorry, we have to say that these days, but newsflash, impossible for man to have a baby. Okay, somebody said, if you want to know what it's like, just take your upper lip and peel it back over your head or something like that. I don't know. It's not good. I mean, it's great, but it can be very painful, right? So Paul says, I'm in labor pains. Have you ever prayed like that for someone to mature in Christ? No, I'm talking about your neighbor that you led to Jesus. Did you pray like that? I know, it's a little convicting. When he does a biography, his life, I've been shipwrecked three times. Correction, I said two the other night, I was wrong, it's three, thank you. Shipwrecked three times, whipped, rods, naked, hungry, and then he adds to that, and besides all that, I have the concern and the burden for all the churches. He lines that up with being whipped. He lines up the burden for the churches with the rest of his hardships. I'm telling you something. I have not pastored like that. But I'm beginning to feel it. The more I talk about it and meditate on it and think it, I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, oh God, help me. All the extensions, I'm over a number of our extensions at King's, the King's Alaska group. We had a very different extension meeting today. Very, very intense and encouraging. Amen. The prayer overcomes Satan's intent. So can you imagine if we prayed more for Eagle River, then that mean you would have greater breakthrough and quicker. Is that not true? Is that not theologically accurate, Dr. Capo? Yes, it is. It is, well, no, it's not just that. Oh, no, you got to work hard, but I honestly don't know any harder working people. I don't know any two people that work harder than you. We all work hard around here. It's not just hard work. You can't drive the devil off a region by hard work. You have to have hard work, and it has to be married with prayer. You can't break into a region. You're not going to have revival without prayer. You say, Pastor, this is so intense because my prayer life is like I pray for my food. I'm glad you pray for your food. Just start adding some. Amen. You know, they've been told that the prayer for food actually changes the composition of it. It's interesting. There's studies on that. Changes water molecules respond differently to when prayer is going over and worship is going over. How many of you know what you're mostly made of? Water, and I think about $15 worth of chemicals. That's what makes you. Now, if you were to take everything in the human being and just like, of course, there's others at harvest and are going to find a very special place in the lake of hell for the unrepentant that do that and make millions of dollars, or for the unaborted. I'm just saying, practically speaking, if you were to take your body and reduce it to the actual value chemically, it's worth about $15 and a bunch of water. But how many of you know we have greater worth than all of these, including a sparrow? We're made in God's image. Can you say amen? And he's entrusted to us the incredible privilege to be able to pray. It's prayer that allows us to accomplish God's will. So literally what I'm saying as I'm moving forward in this message, and we're going to go to Acts 12, go there now. What I'm saying is that the degree of labors that are going to be released at Kings, Alaska, Wasilla, Eagle River, and beyond is going to be directly related to the amount of prayer. If you look around and see how many people are here, it's wonderful for a Wednesday night, but it's not... It's not like Duncan Campbell when he shows up to the church and there's 300 people outside weeping, the whole church is full, and he's the guest speaker, and he's there way early, and he can't even get in. That's not what we have. That's not that. That's not, this is not that. And I'm glad for what we have. Please don't hear me wrong, but everything we have is a result of prayer. Can you imagine if we go to the next level of prayer? I'm a New Testament kind of labor pain kind of prayer. You say, well, that's a work of the Spirit, Pastor. Absolutely. It is absolutely a work of the Spirit, and signs follow the preaching of the word, and that's why I'm preaching it to you. May God arrest you in the middle of the night, wake you up, and you turn on a lamp until you pray and see miracles break out in with your babies and your children and your father and your mother. May you get a hold of the efficacy and the power and the authority you have in prayer. May you come to understand who you are, who God is, and the authority, the dunamis that you have to be able to exorcise demons and drive off darkness and make a change in the world through your prayer. Every prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. He was no different. In fact, you have more than he had. You have the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So, Pastor, I'm getting so convicted. I know, we better move on. All right. Another incident in the life of Peter. It's like I said, there's this hit that's put out on him. Acts 12, turn there. Acts chapter 12. And verse 1, it was about that time King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church. That's coming. Intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. Now Peter is the leading apostle at this time. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Like, that's going to help. I mean, you're going to obviously tell that they're nervous. He's nervous. Herod, the tetrarch. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. You know why he didn't want to kill him before the Passover? You know what they say? Because they didn't want to have another resurrection right at Passover. Four squads of soldiers, four soldiers. What are you nervous about, Herod? Four squads of four soldiers. It's just one guy, one fisherman. What's the problem? The church begins to pray. Look at verse 5. Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying. You know, it's good to learn to do word studies. You read passages of scripture. I hope you're in the Bible every day. Get in the Bible every day. We have a reading plan, and we roll that out at the first of every year. We read through the Old Testament once, the New Testament twice. And mostly, honestly, I listen to it. My devotional reading is actually devotional listening. And so I listen in the morning. I put on my YouVersion and I let that thing play. And the Lord will hit me. I'll stop. I'll go, woo. Sometimes I'm falling asleep with it playing. But get in the Word every day. When you read the Word and you see words like earnestly praying, that's different. That's a different kind of praying than I think what we're used to. Come on, say prayer changes things. The church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod is to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. He's chained too. And the sentry stood guard at the entrance suddenly. You see, if you don't have earnest prayer, let me say it this way. If you have earnest prayer, you will have more suddenlies. You can have suddenlies without them because God will step in and do stuff. But if you earnestly pray, you'll certainly have more power and you'll have more suddenlies. Pray little, have little power. Pray much, much power. John Hagee said that right here. Lord appeared. Suddenly, angel of the Lord appeared. Light shone around him. He struck Peter on the side, which I love that, and woke him up. So that ought to just slay anybody who worries. He knows he's going to trial. He knows he's going to get killed. He knows it. But, what are they going to do? Are you going to send me to heaven? Might as well get a good rest. And I imagine like spittle going down his beard. I was just snoring. Peter. Peter! Has to kick him. He struck him on the side to wake him up. You want to tell me how worried he is? He wasn't on Xanax. He wasn't on Prozac. He didn't have on sleeping butterfly and some weirdness. He had to go get... He had the power of God. Lift your hands to heaven. Ah! He didn't have melatonin. He had the Holy Ghost. He had peace like a river. And he was tired. Why? Probably from witnessing to all the guards and casting out devils, doing ministry all day. What do you think? He's in prison. Do you think he was just sleeping all day? I think he was doing ministry. I think he's having worship. I think he's probably dancing around. Look what the Lord has done. Jehovah Jireh, my pro. I think he's doing something that made him tired. I mean, think about it. He's in prison. Raise your hand if you've ever been in prison. Okay. What do you do in prison? I mean, you're going to do push? You doing push-ups all day? What are they doing? They doing push-ups? Yeah. What made him tired? He'd been in prison for weeks at this time. What made him tired? Why would he even sleep? I promise you he's doing ministry. It's the first prison ministry right there, is it? Yeah, one of them. That'll preach. The church is united in prayer, and God sends an angel to free Peter from prison. And the reason Luke records the event, I believe, is to show the power of united prayer. We pray for this prison outreach this week. Who knows what could happen? When I went to the prison in Sutton years ago with you, Minister Heidi, were you there too, Pastor Tim? Do you remember that? Man, the power of God. We had Minister Heidi tie her hair up and kind of cross-dress kind of. We didn't want her to, no, I'm serious. I'm serious. Dress down, it's not cross-dress. Okay. Heidi, dress down. You're gonna look like a boy. Like, tie your hair up, get a hat. You ain't gonna look like a girl. We going into all men's prison. That's what we did. They said, oh yeah, you can bring her, but like, you know. She wasn't wearing a dress and looking like a female. She went, and she's this amazing worship leader. And we had worship and we preached, and that pulpit exploded. I hit the pulpit and it shattered into pieces. Splinters went everywhere, and the prisoners went nuts. And I remember this one native guy screeching like an eagle. You remember that? He's like, ah! I was like, oh my God, what's happening? It was revival. It was an outpouring. The Spirit of God hit that place. Come on, that could happen this week. You've seen it before. God, move in power in the, come on, pray with me. Lord, move in power in the prison. Move in power in the prison. Let the gifts be in operation. Let a flow of your fire come upon the team. Think about all the things that could have happened, but we didn't pray. All right. Prayer is the emphasis of the passage that we looked at. Elijah is mentioned. As an example of a man whose prayers are powerful. And the key to Elijah's power and prayer was his relationship to God. It was not just his relationship to God, it was the way that he prayed. Heidi, would you, Minister Heidi, would you jump on the keys for me? We haven't done that in a bit. Let's go for it. Appreciate you. Anything like prayer and power, kind of. Have prayer and power music. I'm gonna lift your hands to heaven. I'm trying, God. I'm trying to communicate what you said. I felt like the Lord said, you're doing it. I said, okay. I'm not done yet. Let's finish this. If you look at 1 Kings 18, I mean, this Elijah, you see, he's an unusual cat. He wore a stole as mantle made out of some kind of animal hair. He has this relationship with the Lord, and he prays super bold and fervent. He doesn't pray a weak sauce prayer. His prayer is not like Taco Bell hot sauce. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever have Pastor Kirsten's hot sauce? That's hot sauce. Minister Hank's hot sauce, you ever had that? It's way hotter than Pastor Kirsten's. No, really. When we had like Father's Day burger time out there, they're like, here, Pastor, try this one. I'm like, I know you guys. I got one more service to preach, and they're feeding me a ghost pepper hamburger. Thanks. I've seen people with ghost pepper type prayer. And I've seen other folks that just, it's just if you don't know, I went to get out of my house, I don't think it was today, it was yesterday. And the lock on my front door has an issue, which Pastor Karen is hoping I'm gonna fix that, stack 8 cords of wood, paint the house, and do all the stuff for winter by the next couple of days, amen. So, like anybody got a whole mountain of stuff to do? That's why usually church is a little empty right now. People are like hustling because winter's coming, I understand. Soon it'll be here and everybody comes back to church. That's why I want winter to hurry up. Anyway, I'm trying to get in my front door. I aggressively was trying to get in my front door because the lock was sticking. And so I've got that thing by the handle and I've got the key in there. And it's just a little funny right now. I need to replace it. It's 12 years old. I need to put a new lock in. It's just wore out. And so as I'm working it, I start getting really aggressive with it. And I'm like, you're opening. Okay. And then I like back off. Now you can obviously tell that's my door. That's my door. I own that thing. And if I wanted to kick it in, believe me, I was gonna. And because I've got somewhere to go and it's not coming undone. And I thought it would take nothing right now. Boof, I'd be in, hallelujah. Except then I'd have to fix it right away. Now I can fix it later. My point is, when you know, come on, when Daniel comes to get food at my house, it's his house. That strapping young lad, 250 pound plus, big heifer of a boy, strong as an ox. I don't know how that kid is so strong. I've been weightlifting for years and he's got my back strength matched. I don't even know how that's possible. Heifer, you heard me. That bull of a boy, he's no heifer. Heifers have udders and everybody said amen. That bull, oh, he's a bull. Lift your hands to heaven. Hey! Woo! Welcome to Kings. You should see him going for some protein. He walks in, he comes right in the front door. Hey, Dad, love you. He's like, hey. Walks right in, grabs the fridge, opens the fridge. Pulls out, walks in, sets it up. He isn't like timidly grabbing the beef.
Oh, Dad, I'm trying to serve you. Oh, Lord, would you please just, please, oh God. I just want a sandwich, God, that's all I want. I just want a sandwich. Please.
Who would do that to their kid? Who would do that? If you, being evil, know how to give your son and daughter a sandwich, how much more your heavenly Father will give the Holy Ghost to them that
ask.
Exactly. Hey, you helped me preach tonight. Where are we? I should have only taken 3 vitamin B12s tonight. I think I took 4. Helps you think. Oh. He was righteous. He prayed earnestly and fervently. He prayed specifically. He persevered. He persevered. He what? He persevered. You've got power and authority. You're righteous by the blood. Hopefully you understand that. That's then produced in your life righteous living. You don't live righteously to gain righteousness and then right standing with God. Please listen. You gain right standing with God by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ that he died on a cross and he rose again from the grave. His blood cleanses you from all sin. To as many as believed in him, he gave them the right to become children of God. You are his child because you have believed in him. That which was sin is thrown as far as the east is from the west, and he's come to take up residence on the inside of you. You are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Your name is written in the Lamb's book. Can I preach in here? Your name's written in the Lamb's book of life. You're his son, you're his daughter. Come on, you can go ahead and go right up to the fridge, open it up, get out a big thing of mayonnaise. Come on, get some rye bread and slap the mayonnaise on and get some roast beef and some tomatoes and some lettuce. You can make a sandwich. Get yourself a bit, just make sure you wash your hands before you do it. Thank you. prayer. You pray like that. Pray like you own it. You're his son, you're his daughter. You pray like that. You pray with authority. When he called last night, he said, we talked to one of the family members, so he said, he prayed, Pastor, can you pray? That man's head is crushed by a tree. Okay, cracked. Cracked, crushed, you get the idea. When you pray, they don't need the kind of prayer, Father, Lord, please, can you give me a sandwich? They didn't pray that kind of prayer. Because that kind of prayer doesn't do anything. Well, I mean, I don't know. God's good. So you pray anything, it's better than nothing at all. But take the key, stick it in the door. Well, it's not turning. Keep turning it. Jiggle it a little bit. In the name. I said, in the name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, this door, he opens a door that no man can shut. This door is his will, in Jesus' name. Maybe you didn't hear me right now. I command you in the name, don't you mess with me. I command you that's what I said, that's right. Now you just step off and you walk right on him. That's how Pastor Karen does it. Persevere, everybody say persevere. And he believed God would answer his prayer. He would believe God would answer his prayer. God's speaking to us. God has given us power. You ain't gonna have no move of God in the young adults unless you have a prayer movement first. 35 people. It's just a little honeymoon. Light it up. You pray, they'll follow you. Pray. Not gonna have a native fellowship that has a real revival without prayer. It ain't gonna happen. Just ain't gonna happen. But what has been birthed already is because of prayer. The next level, make no doubt about it, Pastor Tim, Minister Heidi, Sarah, Native Alaskan team, there's no way in hell the devil wants an on-fire native group. But he's already been defeated. You know how to fight. I just got scared for a second, man. You got some intensity on the inside of you. Every battle that you've been through, all the things from Delta Junction, out in the different places that you've been, how you've suffered quietly and not made a complaint, not murmured or complained, all the things that you've been through with your kids and how you've had to believe God and see it just come from the land, and see it come from this and come from that, how you've had to believe and water came from the rock. It's trained you. You're going to teach others the same, and you're going to have a great awakening. You're going to have a great awakening. I'm telling you, we're having a great awakening. It's going to happen in the Native Alaskans, Alaskan Natives too. It's going to happen for the Caucasians, all the black people, all the yellow people, all the white people. It's going to happen on every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. He's going to pour out his spirit. He's summoning a prayer army. He's summoning a people who will light fires in the middle of the night, not without cause, but with cause, with purpose, who will cry out, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when he stirs you in the middle of the night and says, get up and pray. Get up, son. Get up, son. Get up, son. And I will turn the battle at the gate. I have anointed you, says the Lord. I have anointed you. The enemy's tried to get you to get into this place where you don't understand the authority that you have. And there's some reasons in the back of your mind for why this might happen and that might happen, but the Lord said they're all bunk. I put my blood over you and I've given you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I am opening the door. I am opening the door. I am opening the door, says the Lord. God's given us power through prayer. In order to have a harvest of souls, we must up the intensity of prayer. For the next 15 weeks, I said 15. For the next 15 weeks, I'm calling you. I'm calling you to a place of prayer. I want you to up your prayer. Now, for some of you, you just prayed over your food. I'm glad you did. And you're going to move to maybe praying 15 minutes. Praise God. That's awesome. Listen, you pray 5 minutes, fantastic. Some of you already pray that. Add 5, add 10. Not asking you to do something I'm not going to do. I'm asking you to do something the Lord wants you to do. And if you will do it, you will see a result of a harvest that you have never seen. We've never seen what God wants to do. We've never seen it before. It's not happened before. As surely as this building sits here and nobody's been able to build a building this bigger or was able to, but through us, a company of people, a people of faith, believing God, we saw mountains move and winds stopped and plastic replaced with panels, hallelujah. God is able to do it. He's able to do it. If you'll pray, if you'll believe, if you'll contend, if you pray fervently, earnestly with all your heart in the name of Jesus, every mountain will move. Every assignment of darkness will be bound and banished, and you'll see a youth coming in. You'll see young adults coming in. You'll see the classic set on fire and revival prayer in the middle of the night. You'll be able to drive down Wasilla and through neighborhoods and hear people praying in the spirit. Is it possible that we could have a visitation? Oh, I just want a Brownsville. I want a Brownsville. First of all, Brownsville didn't change the city. We need something more than that, but I will say that John Kilpatrick, Pastor John Kilpatrick, did get up at 4 a.m. every morning for 3 years straight and go down and cry out for revival before Father's Day. A lot of people want a Father's Day outpouring, but they don't get their carcass out of bed. I am preaching in here tonight. I'm not mad. Just at the devil. We're doing good. I'm encouraged. But I'm asking you the next 15 weeks, between now and Christmas, Christmas is 15 weeks, would you add and increase your prayer life? Will you do it? Would you raise your hand and say, I'll do it? All right, if you're gonna make it to morning prayer, I'm gonna push you, think about it, morning prayer, at least 3 days a week, you're gonna make it to morning prayer. Come on, think about it. You're going to make it to morning prayer. You say, I can't. I commute. That's why we're opening at 6 a.m. also. Just not on Thursdays. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6 a.m. it'll be open. We might add Thursday, but 6 a.m. You can maybe come to the 6 a.m. prayer. If you can't make the 6 a.m., you can come to the 7. And we'll have other prayer times. You say, Pastor, I'm going to commit to morning prayer at least 3 days a week. Raise your hand. Wait, listen, if you're not willing to do, let me just push you for a moment longer. If you're not willing to do what you've never done before, how are you going to see what you've never seen before? Well, I've been praying. Okay, what kind of results you got? All right, come on, raise your hand. You're going to go to morning prayer. Eagle River too. All right. So I can't make it to morning prayer, but I'm going to pray more. Come on, you're going to pray more. You could do something. I believe the next 15 weeks, if we do that, we will see leaders. We will see 500 people. I am believing for 500 new folks to come into the house. Is that bold? Yes, it is, absolutely. But there's, you know, there's in the sanctuary right now, 300 or so. I mean, if you all just went and brought one person, we'd be most of the way there. Just go to your neighbor, say, if you go to church, I'll give you $50. Come on, let's go. I'm teasing you. It's God's intent. Come on, 15 weeks, we must pray. Last point, and then I'm gonna read a quote to you, and we'll be concluded. God's intent for us is to personally and as a church, is to receive an elevation. That's the word of the Lord. We have received that, but there's so much more. It takes supernatural power of God to break the bonds of the natural and the demonic. Only God can make a community God conscious. Think about what would happen if God came to any community in power. I believe that day is coming. May God prepare us all for it. Amen. Duncan Campbell. First things, if you're not right with God, don't leave this place in that condition with every head bowed, every eye closed. You want to give your heart to Jesus first time? Make a recommitment all across this place. You say, that's me. Lift your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. It's okay. Put your hand up. God bless you. All right, pray with me. Right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. Thank you that he rose again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me new. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. Holy Spirit, touch and fill those who prayed that prayer. Right now, in Jesus' name, be filled. Amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.